Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. We're going to find John chapter 4. Look for verse number 1. As I so often do, I will ask that if you have a cell phone, please make sure that it's turned off or that it's on vibrate. And then also, if for some reason you have an emergency and you need to step out, we certainly understand that. Do step out using the back. Don't use this side door. And if you re-enter, don't re-enter this door. That way, the Word of God gets its proper attention. John chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. I'll read to you the first 6 verses. And from those verses, we will launch into the sermon this morning. Look back at me for a second. My sermon title this morning and the content of my sermon is a question. And this is it. Is Jesus weary because of you? Is Jesus weary because of you? Now, John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. God, you know the intent of my heart, the desire of my heart in regard to the sermon and to this day. But the truth is, Lord, it does not matter my intent or my desire. It matters yours. May you get what you want out of this sermon. May you be glorified because of this sermon. Father, may you be uplifted. May you be the recipient of all the praise, the honor, and everything that you want or deserve. Please, Holy Spirit of God, keep this service from being a waste of your time. And may we not waste your time, but do a supernatural work, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I enjoy helping people. I try to help a lot of people. I left 30, 40 minutes west of Charlotte, and I had preached the evening service last night. I had about a 5-hour or so drive to get back here. I had set up phone appointments for my drive all the way back so I could help people. There were some pastors that needed some help, and I enjoy doing that. There's a particular man, and wouldn't do you any good to try to figure it out. It's not somebody here. Particular man that had been asking for my help, and he called me about 4 times during the day, and I told him that, you know, you call me at a certain time, and we can have an appointment. But I stay pretty busy sometimes, and so he had called 4 or 5 times, and I'd call. He was blowing up my phone. You know how when that comes. Then the text started coming, and bang, 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 bang. Finally, I decided, boy, you know, he's suicidal. I better call him. So I called him, and he asked a question, and I answered. It was a very simple question. I said, well, if you'll do this, it'll be fine. About an hour later, my phone rang, and he wanted to talk about that very same thing again. And I said, Doc, if you'll do this, it'll be fine. A little later on, that old phone started ringing, and the text started coming. And I have to tell you, I love him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to hope he doesn't listen to this sermon on the Internet. But it began to weary me a little because it was just repetitive over, 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 get this, same thing, same old thing. I said, do this, it'll be fine. Next thing you know, we're dealing with the same thing. I said, do this, it'll be fine. Then we deal with the same thing. I said, if you do this, it'll be fine. Y'all, Y'all ever felt like something that just wear you down like that? Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, it says, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus had left Judea. He is traveling by foot. He's walking. Remember, the roads on which he walked were primitive roads. They were pathways, not paved like you and I. You must understand, a journey in that day and a journey today with our soft generation would be two totally different things. Everything was harder back then than it is now. He traveled, and he travels a physically rough road. You ever heard someone say, I have a rough road to hoe? Now, that rough road to hoe today compared to back then are two different things. Let's not forget how difficult his spiritual path was. His spiritual destination was difficult. His physical path and his physical destination. What you say, what was his spiritual path? Sinlessness. He had to be perfectly sinless. I mean, to perfection. Why? So he could be our Savior. His destination was doing God's perfect will. I know this is hard for you and I to accept, but Jesus did not take a step in any direction without taking it in God's perfect will. You say that came natural. He made that happen. That's what you and I are supposed to do. But that seems a little overwhelming. So if we could just work him in once a month, we'll be satisfied. But everywhere he traveled, he did the good works of God. He was the God-man, but he was a man, and he was God. Everywhere he traveled, he came in contact with the human race that he had created. The human race is the apple of his eye. He created the universe, but he wrote a book for the human race. He created the universe, but he came to die for the human race. He came to a city called Samaria, or he came to a place where they had a thing called Jacob's Well. In John 4:6, it tells us that Jesus was weary with his journey. He had to sit down. He was humanly wore out. He was more weary than the other disciples, because if you read the passage of Scripture there, when you get down to verse number 8, the other disciples that were traveling with him, when he came to the well, Jesus stopped at the well. He sat down and began to lean against the well, and the other disciples, they were still full of energy. And the Bible says they went ahead and went on into town. But the Bible makes it very clear, Jesus was weary and he stayed at the well. I suppose he could have, if he wanted to, exempted himself from the fatigue. But he didn't. You say, why? Well, I don't think he did, because I think Jesus wanted to go through some things in this life as a human, the God-man, so that when you were fatigued, he could say, my son, as was just sung so eloquently, I also was weary. He was saying, I've been through what you're going through. I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to be weary. I did not use my God power on everything. I was a man and I became weary and I wept and I became hungry and I was sleepy and I was wore out and my emotions were challenged beyond maybe my own desire, if you will. He could have worked a miracle for his own refreshment, but he didn't. And he had become very weary. Why? Oh, well, he became weary for us, for me, for you. He not only become weary for us, I think he becomes weary because of us. There'd be no need of a Savior if we wouldn't sin against him. But we do, so we need him. So he needed to do what he did because he loved us. His dealings with man, I believe, wore him out. If you don't believe it, just go somewhere to a funeral home and use all the energy you have and raise somebody from the dead. That stuff wears you out. I mean, you look at the stuff that Jesus did. You ladies, you can fix a meal. You know, the family comes over and you fix a meal for 10 or 12 people. It'll tucker you out. Try feeding 5,000. I'll wear you out. He was weary. Oh, maybe as a pastor in a very, very small way, I do understand something. I think the thing that would have wore Jesus out the most was not just the physical aspect of life. It was the emotional, what we would attach, the emotional / spiritual warfare that you go through. Jesus was every bit a people person. He came to this earth so that you might see God come in the flesh. He came for me. He came for you. He came for the human race. He may have spent a little time with the donkey, but his intent in coming here was not to be with the donkey. He was here for people, for me, for you, for people just like us. And he was wore down and he was weary. As a pastor, I spend my life in an emotional / spiritual arena. Some of you, when sometimes you go through emotional, traumatizing moments, I go through that with people every day of my life, just every day, day in and day out, and day in and day out. The physical aspect of the ministry does not bother me. I do not mind work. I do not mind working 100 hours in a week. Matter of fact, I enjoy that. I don't mind it. But I'll tell you this, the emotional / spiritual taxing, the weariness. Y'all know what it's like when you're really deeply involved in someone that's got a very heavy emotional situation going on. Boy, I'll tell you something. You go through it day after day after day after day after day after day after day. It's a war. And there's a spiritual war. It's a job with huge opposition. It's a constant drain of one's energy. One time there was Jesus was passing through a throng of people and he stopped and he said, "Stop! Somebody touched me." He said, "How'd you know?" He said, "I felt the virtue leave me." That touch of faith tapped into the energy level of Jesus Christ and he said, "I felt the energy leave my body." And I'm not trying to be weird or charismatic. I will tell you this. Jesus Christ, that energy that he expelled, it wear you down. You help people and you really throw your life into helping people, it'll drain you emotionally. Air traffic controllers. Boy, what a stressful job. And I want them in good health. I fly a lot. I want them in good health. Doctors, nurses, wow. If you really care, by the way, if you don't care and you're a doctor or nurse, get out of the business. If you care and you took an oath, it's more than making money. But I'll tell you what, you dealing with people and the trauma of life, emergency room, nurses and doctors, oh my. Incredible. Drain you. Taxing. Hey, dealing with people is a constant energy drain. It sucks all the patience right out of you. There are times when people, I wake up and I got, it's like my telephone. On your phone, you got this little dude that tells you how much your battery is charged. I wake up in the morning and my battery's 100%. And then I look at my patient's battery, mine, and I got 100% in the morning. Usually by noon, I'm down to 40%. And if you ever find I'm not answering my phone or I won't come to the door, I'm at zero, and it'd be better that you not deal with me at that moment, because if the bar of my patience is down to zero, you're about to get the wrath of 35 years of ministry. So you're better off just leaving that thing alone. But this, in the ministry, it'll drain. Hey, it zaps you of your hope. It requires you to empty your energy into others who sometimes won't even use their own energy. It demands the giving of your heart to half-hearted people. Medical professionals will say they came to me to fix them and they didn't even have to be fixed if they would have taken care of this. I told them what to do to not have to have me fix them. Oh, but what do? If you love and you care, you fix them anyway. But part of you wants you want to take them and shake them and say, I told you what to do. You dream for those who will not dream for themselves. You invest your very life into the lives of others that squander your investment. You give to those that are more than willing to take. You give the gift of strength to those who waste their own strength. And get this, as humans, those of you that understand what I just described, the complexity of that for Jesus Christ is at such magnitude, I can't even begin to describe it, to the point that he sweat drops of blood. Talk about pressure. He not only faced what he faced physically for you and for me, he faced what he faced emotionally, / spiritually, if you will. I got to thinking about this. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 17, this is what the Lord says. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. No disrespect, please. God is ultimate. God's all powerful. God's all strength. God's all knowing. God's ever. He always has been and he always will be. But the Bible says, Jesus, God said, ye have wearied me. Wow. That word wearied there kind of took a microscope, then I dissected it a little bit and I cut its chest open and looked into the internal parts of that word. It means exhausted, unnecessarily worked me. Jesus was wearied with his journey, the Bible says. His journey's purpose was all about man. More specifically, his journey's purpose was all about me and you. But folks, could I ask you a question today? Are you unnecessarily wearing Jesus out? You say, you mean he's about to give out? No, don't worry. He's not going to have a nervous breakdown. And that's not going to happen. But I ask, do you unnecessarily push him? Is he wearied because of you? I enjoy going out. I used to hunt when I could. I like to deer hunt. There's something that's fantastic. You get out there a good piece into the woods. You shoot a deer. I enjoyed rifle hunting, but I enjoy bow hunting much more. Nothing like putting a deer down with your bow. But you know, after I did it a few times, I began to realize I don't like this as much as what I used to. You say, what, did it lose its thrill? Yeah, you shoot a 250-pound deer and you're 400 yards back in the wilderness, you have to drag it out of the woods. I kid you not, Brother Allen. I missed big deer on purpose. I'm pulling back and the adrenaline's there and I'm thinking, I got to drag it out. Oops, I missed you. But I seen it. I took a shot at it. But I didn't want to drag it out. And some of you young guys, you say, I wouldn't do that. You just wait and see. I remember one time I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I drug this deer out. And I mean, I'm broken out and sweat. My heart's racing. I was going, I lay down. I'm thinking, I'm going to die right here by the deer I killed. I'm going to die from a heart attack from dragging this thing out. There are certain things. Any lady here that's ever had a baby, you talk about after you had that baby, you could not imagine being more physically drained of everything you had. I wonder if you and I ever wear God down. again, all reverence to God. I didn't write the scripture. It's very clear. God said his people can weary him. I wonder if it's because he comes to us, he helps us, he tells us what to do, we don't do it, then we come right back and ask the same question again. And we don't do it. He says, well, do this, and this will help you. You know, at the end of the day, God's saying, you're wearing me down. Now, I'll be there for you. I'll help you. I'll keep loving you. I'll keep throwing it out there. But do we weary him? For instance, is he wearied with your sins? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 24, it says, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. God's saying something to you and I about our sin here. God said, you're wearing me down here. You're making me weary with your sin. Do you somehow think that God is so powerful that your sin does not affect him? Now, I can't tell you all the ways it affects him. We know that he doesn't like it. We know that he disapproves of it. But you think it? Hey, don't you think God's getting tired of America? What are you doing, America? Who thought we'd be debating what we're debating about the restrooms in America? God said, you've got there one nation under God, and you're debating that kind of stuff. You think God got wearied? You ever heard in the Bible about God sending fire from the sky and consuming a whole city? I guess God got wearied. Are your repeated sins personally then wearing God down? Over and over, you commit the same sin. You know it's wrong. You know you should stop it. You know he's displeased. You continue to allow yourself to misbehave in this area over and over again. I wonder if we don't wear him down a little bit. I wonder, you just do it over and over and over and over and over again. I wonder if God says, hey, come back down here a little bit. You weary me with your iniquity. And that's what the scripture said. Does Jesus need to stop and sit at Jacob's well because he's so wore down from your repeated misbehavior? You say, like what? Well, your temper. Over and over and over and over. You got to be growing at getting that thing under control. Hey, and not only will your out-of-control temper weary the God that expects you to be improving, it'll wear your wife down too, so you know. Many wives try very hard to put up with the rage. But you can weary them. And it's not that they don't love you. You just wear them down emotionally. Or, are you a woman that can't control your temper, your rage? I was counseling. I couldn't believe it. I was counseling a young couple probably 25 years ago. They came to my office. And she said to me, she said, he grabbed me and shook me. And I right away said, sir, you should never grab your wife like that. Be an adult. Don't do that. They left. I thought I'd helped them. They came back. She said, he pushed me at the next meeting. I said, oh my. I said, sir, you got to get this under control. You're hurting yourself. And he finally did this. He said, Brother Owens, I've sat here and three times you've corrected me. He said, I grabbed her because she's a lunatic. He said, she attacks me, she hits me, she kicks me, and all I did when she was hitting me, I put my hands up, said, my wife's got rage and she can't control it. So it's not always the man that's got a temper problem. It could be the woman that's got a temper problem. Well, let me tell you right now, you better learn to get that under control. Why? You're gonna wear your marriage down. Your kids can only take so much of your rage. Get it under control. Hey, are you a boss? Your employees can only take so much of your rage. And I think bosses have the right to correct employees. I think it's supposed to be done. But is it repetitive? Over and over and over and over and over again. You got to get it under control. And so we can weary God maybe with not getting our tempers under control. Immorality will wear him down. You just won't quit. You know you're supposed to quit. People go out and go into fornication. They get to messing around before they're married. And they know they ought to quit. And they know they ought to stop. But they don't. You'll weary God. You know better. Adultery is the same way. Hey, our pride is the same way. You're a know-it-all. You're the only one that's right. You need no counsel. You don't need to pray. One of the primary ways to know how bad your pride is in your life is how much do you pray? Proud people are not praying people. Now, I'm talking about sinfully proud people. They don't need to ask God. They already know. Who needs God? You got your own mind. We don't need more preaching. We need less. Proud people need less of God, need less church. Humble people need more church. I wonder if that wears God down. Relationship problems. I wonder if it wears God down when we're always struggling with relationships. If it's not this one, it's this one. If it's not this one, it's this one. And you got all these stupid people around you. None of them can be gotten along with. Can't get along with this one. Can't get along with that one. Can't get along with this one. If they would all just get a good dose of what you've got, maybe we'd all get along. But funny that you seem to be the central figure in all the tension. How about your gossip, your tongue, talking too much, saying things you shouldn't say? You think God gets tired of the repetitive misbehaviors? When he said, "Ye weary me with your iniquities," what could he be talking about? I'm going to guess he's saying, look, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 24, it says, "Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." You know, I wonder if he says, "You know, I've got this unlimited amount of forgiveness. And it's a good thing. Because you take me for all I'm worth." You know, hey, the Bible very clearly teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. No apologies for that. None. I believe that is Scripture. There's some people say, well, God will forgive me. I can do it. I'll do anything I want and God will forgive me. Hey, you got a real bad attitude. So, the sermon's title is this. Is Jesus weary because of you? Is he weary because of your repetitive sins? Hey, secondly, is he wearied by your fake, empty, formal worship? You're just playing church. Isaiah 1:14, it says, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them." What's he talking about? Oh, they were religious, but they were not real. And he said, "You wear me down." I've tried to think of a million ways to word this. It's probably not going to come out right. But listen, does God get tired of your church attendance? You say, what? Uh-huh. You come and you go and you never change. Church is an empty ritual to you. You're so well spiritually educated, I can't teach you anything new. Same old, why even go? God must be wearied when people can come to church, hear the eternal, powerful Word of God, and not think it applies to them. I wonder how many times God, on a Sunday morning, was saying, "I can't wait. I know what I've led the pastor to preach. And I know that man or that woman is going to get what they need. It's going to revolutionize their whole life.
You come in, plunker down, sit there in your coma because you were up all night watching the television or surfing the net. You come in here, you hear the preaching, you walk out, you're not changed a bit, and God's going, oh, I am so frustrated. I gave them exactly what they needed to step up. I was going to solve their problem. But they came in and walked out like a revolving door down at the hospital, and they didn't get the medicine. I wonder if God says, I'm so tired. And I realize God has all the energy in the world, but if God ever says, you weary me, I guess that's not real good for you. I think God's probably getting weary of preachers who won't preach, thus saith the Lord. I'm not a great preacher. I never will be. But I need you to understand something. When I stand and preach, it really doesn't have anything to do with you. I'm here to refresh him. I'm his representative. I thank God you're in my church, and I thank God I get to pastor this church. But in a way, and I don't mean to offend you, I don't work for you. I wasn't called by you. I know my job, and I enjoy my job. I enjoy my boss. You know what I want to do? When I step off this platform and I head for my office, all I want is for God to look down and say, that's what I needed. I want God to say, Jeff, you refreshed me. Thank you, Jeff. I enjoyed that, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you for saying it. Jeff, and I hope every once in a while he says, you know, Jeff, it's been a long time since I've heard anybody say that. I wrote that. I wanted them to say it. And they cower and they hide and they run. And they're all giving in. They're all becoming a part of the new movement. God needs to be refreshed. I think God is wearied with preachers that won't do what they're to do, and Christians that they come and they're so formal in their worship. They walk in, walk out, but they're not changed. I think God is wearied by churches that have empty altar calls. I think God is wearied with the dead attitude of churches, dead leaders and dead preaching and dead dreamers and dead atmosphere. And a dead program. God is wearied with a fake worship where it's on the outside but not on the inside. God is wearied because he's looking for music that glorifies him while man is so stingy. Man is looking for music that moves his body instead of music that is a blessing to the God of the universe. I think he is wearied at churches that meet and nobody gets saved. Nobody gets saved. There will be multiplied tens of thousands of churches all across this nation that won't have one single person saved this week, this month, or even this year. Whether we have anybody saved at this building today or not is not the issue. You watch them. People walk the aisle of this church week in and week out and week in and week out and week in and week out. And I think God looks down and he says, that's refreshing. Don't you think he gets wore out doing all the convicting and all the loving and all the wanting for people to get saved? And he goes to places that call themselves churches and they never get anybody saved. I think God says, I'm so tired. Tired of that. He's wearied by no revival. He's wearied by those who stay in the dead churches. Listen. Hey, I'll give you a warning. If this church ever changes and it ceases to be old-time religion and ceases to be King James Bible, if it ceases to be soul winning, you go find you a church that's right with God. I'll be right behind you. I wonder how weary the anemic Christian movement of today makes a Savior that gave his all. He's weary. I think he's weary because we don't give our hearts to what we do. Listen to this verse. Psalm 95, verse number 10. It says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts. What he's saying is, You do things, but you don't do it with your heart. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know what that means? What you do for God is to be done with your all. 40 years, he said, I waited for those children of Israel in their wandering in their wilderness. He said, and your problem is you didn't put your heart into the solution. Hey, I think we need to get serious about what we do for God. If you're looking for a church that becomes your social moment, if you're looking for a church that's playing, this is not a game to me. I really believe there's a God in heaven. There is a hell. I really believe that we are to serve Him with our hearts. You won't let church become your life. You'll drop by and visit. Your heart's not in it. Ah, God, I'll try to work in when I have time. Sorry, wrong attitude. Most people, I was preaching at the conference this week, and someone said, Brother Owens, I am so excited to hear you preach. I love fire. I love that in preaching. You know what I told him? I said, I'm so glad to watch you listen, because I love fire in the listener. Everywhere you go, people want the preacher to get up there and split his britches on the pulpit and shuck the corn. Everybody wants the preacher to call the roll. Everybody wants the preacher to get with it. Take a stand. Fight the devil. Make something happen. Show your energy. Go somewhere. Do something. Hey, let's go turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And we will sit there like a bump on a log and watch and say, well, I wouldn't want it any other way. I'll root for you, preacher. Do you not believe in Him enough to give your all? Is He wearied because you're holding out on Him? You've never given yourself to changing your life. You're not willing to sacrifice what some others have to be used of God. Is your heart in it? Is your heart in it, children's church worker? Is your heart in it, musician? Is your heart in it, Sunday school teacher? Is your heart in it, bus worker? I hate to say this, but I will. I pray and I say, God, if you can't use me, kill me. I don't want to live down here unless I'm fulfilling the purpose for which I was created. Are you committed to God? Is He wearied? Is He wearied because you have resisted the Holy Spirit's tug on your heart? In Isaiah 63:10 it says, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Say, what is vexed? Wore Him down, pushed Him away. What is it that God's Holy Spirit has touched you about, but He can't get you to move? There's a sin that God has spoken to your heart and told you, you need to stop that. But you pushed it away. You delayed it. You pushed it off. I want to give you a little bit of a warning, and you need to hear this. The Bible very clearly teaches. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If God comes to you and He tugs at your heart and He tells you there's something He needs you to do, and you push it off, sooner or later you'll wear that thing down. And you'll say, oh, I guess God doesn't want me to do it. No, God knows you don't want to do it, and God's backing off and going to let you go ahead and crash and burn. You pushed it away. God didn't quit. You did. Is God wearied by your rejection of the Holy Spirit? What was it that I used to say from this pulpit that convicted you and you said, you know what, that applies to me. I need to do that. I need to change that. I need to start that. But now you pushed it off so long, it doesn't matter anymore. You can take it. You're proud of yourself. You can sit all the way through the service, and I can mention that thing four or five times, and it doesn't even get you anymore. That's called being calloused. That is the rejection of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Strike while the iron's hot, folks. Change while God's speaking to you. You know you ought to be trying to win souls to Christ. You've heard about it a million times, but now you got yourself to the point where it just doesn't bother you anymore. Your church attendance, your tithing, your bad friends, your entertainments, your gossip. What is it? It's just what you are now. His Holy Spirit can be rejected. What happens? You wear the Holy Spirit down. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "It is a small thing for you to weary man, but will ye weary my God also?" I'm finished, and won't be long, we'll be on our way, but let me tell you something. Could it be that God is a little weary of trying to get you saved? Jesus died for you. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect and sinless life, 33 and a half years. He died, was buried, and resurrected. He made it so you could go to heaven. You need to get born again. You know, there's someone in here, I heard about that when I was a child, but you didn't do anything about it. Well, I heard about that at youth camp. Yeah, but you didn't do anything about it. You know, there are people that will procrastinate themselves, right, into hell. See, I used to be worried about hell, but you know, the thought of it really doesn't bother me anymore. What a dangerous position in which to find yourself. Have you wearied God? And again, may I compliment my God. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. He's the everywhere present one. He's the one that said, "You weary me." What did he mean? Repetitively, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And just like I told you, that guy blowing up my phone, I'd say, "Brother, do this and it'll be okay." Next thing you know, it's, "What do I do?" I said, "Brother, do this and it'll be okay." And he called back, "What do I do?" I said, "Do this and you'll be okay." And a part of me said, "You know something? Why should I keep on telling you to do the same thing when you won't do it? I care more about you than you care for yourself, and I'll guarantee you, God cares more about you than you care for yourself." You say, "I'm waiting for orders from headquarters." You don't need any. You need to do what He already told you to do. "God, give me something new." God said, "Do what I told you that's old." "I want some new instructions." God said, "You haven't even done what I told you last week. Why should I give you something new this week?" And sometimes, I think, we weary God. That's our weakness, not His. Silly. I prepared the sermon. I said, "Lord, I really like an applicable application to introduce this sermon." And then God provided. That man virtually wore me out the other day. Texting and calling and texting and calling. And in the midst of it, I didn't know I was getting an illustration. See, I was just getting irritated. And about midnight last night, as I was praying, driving, Lord said, "Hey, by the way, you wanted an illustration." And then God said this to me. He said, "Now you know how I feel, Jeff. Now you know. I get weary." He said, "I love you, I'll help you, and I'll keep trying. But you weary me." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to stop putting it off and get saved today. If you're not saved, you come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. Don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. It's time for me to get this thing settled once and for all. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm born again." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher. Don't know I'm saved." God bless you. Who here would say, "Pastor, there are things in my life that God has spoken to me about. and I'm dealing way too much with repetitive sins. I'm dealing way too much with instruction God's given me, and I never get it done. I'm fearful. I'm guilty to some degree of wearying God in some areas. And God spoke to my heart, I'm gonna work on it. Would you let God see your hand? Lots of hands. Lots of hands. You may put your hands down. I wish some of you would really make some big decisions today. Some big decisions. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You come if you need this altar. There are Christians that need to come and get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I think I've wearied you. God, you told me what to do and I didn't do it. You prompted me what to do and I didn't do it. God, you tried to get me to do it and I didn't do it. God, I'm going to spend a moment with you and I'm going to apologize. I need to get a little more serious about this thing. I need to stop coming to church and leaving church and not a thing about me changing. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat at the well. Is he wearied with your sin? Is he wearied with your worship that's empty? You're just a religious front. You don't mean it. Some of you young people, you're just stuck here because this is where mom and dad make you come to church. You don't believe it. You don't love God. You don't love the Bible. You don't love the old time way. You're stuck. That wearies God. Wearied because we won't give our heart to what we do for Him. Wearied because we reject His Spirit. Are we wearying Him by rejecting His Son as Savior? One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquity. Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man.